Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jessica.
Ooh, we're going full name. I am Jennifer.
Full name today.
Three syllables.
Yes.
Hello. Let's talk. Let's talk.
So here's a scoop. We've got a few things going on. One, Jen is back. I was extremely worried because she was away and it seemed like some stuff went down.
I did text you. I'm going to be like unavailable for 48 hours for serious reasons. We'll get into
them. Yeah, that was a little weird. But I wasn't too distracted that I couldn't enjoy the Oscars.
Because I was dying far, far away.
And take in all the fashion and beauty. But we're also going to talk about International Women's Day and an accompanying poll that sparked an interesting discussion between Jen and I.
It's true. Our guest is amazing. It's Justin Anderson. He works with DP Hue. He works at the Chris McMillan Salon. He is a celebrity colorist with a roster of clients you would not believe. Everyone from Miley Cyrus to Kim Basinger.
Kim.
And he did Margot Robbie's color at the Oscar for Mage. The Oscars. And he gives us all the Oscar dish. So let's get into this episode.
So, Jem, like, what happened? I got this text from you, and I was texting you about some, like, tactical, like, you know, to-do stuff, giving you some, like, a yes. honey-do list.
Yes. And podcast honey-dos.
Yeah. And you responded with something about you were, like, about to
I made
to
it
be
kind of dramatic, didn't I?
I felt like there was a chopper involved. You had to evacuate the area.
I went to Colombia. I was reporting a story for Marie Claire on a quinoa-based beauty company called Zoo Beauty. And we were meant to go to a quinoa farm outside of Cali in Colombia. And the long story short, they got a letter from FARC, which is a guerrilla movement. Like, if you watch Narcos, you know what FARC is.
Okay.
Saying they couldn't guarantee the safety of any outside people that were coming into the area after February 25th. What day did I get there? Like February 28th.
Oh,
so the trip was like completely canceled and I had to reschedule the whole trip and go to Medellin and like do this other, like I did some other story to see some other like works they support. But like,
was it nearly as exciting as a trip to Colombia would have been?
It was still Colombia. I was still in Colombia, just a different town.
Okay.
And I can say it's truly the friendliest people I've ever met in the world. Everybody's beautiful. The big reporting thing I can bring back that's not going to be in the Marie Claire story,
mm-hmm.
beauty news. So Cali is sort of like, it was a center for drug lords back in like the 90s and early aughts. And it also became a center for plastic surgery because a lot of the drug lords wanted their women to have this particular look. So they'd send them to these doctors and they'd support their doctors with their drug money.
Oh, that's charming.
Isn't that great? So they all say in Colombia that there's this look about Cali. And I was talking to the one girl and it was in Spanish. And my Spanish isn't great, but she was like, oh, you know, narcosthetic. And I was like, narcosthetic? It's a term down there for this look when you get like the drug lord's girlfriend plastic surgery.
What is the look?
The look is like big tushy, like really great tushy, really great boobs, high cheekbones, like a really high cheekbone, full lip. Take Sofia Vergara and like squeeze her waist together a little bit.
She already has a tiny waist.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of that look. I mean, the women are beautiful.
It's just even more exaggerated.
Yeah, these are huge generalizations, and I don't want to give the impression that Colombia is like full of people who like look like this. And
narcosthetic.
It's just an awesome country, and I feel like it's such a bad reputation because of like what happened there. But everybody was so nice, and the products from Zoo Beauty were great. They have quinoa, which has like, I think it's in some Kiehl's products
too.
Yes,
the Kiehl's. The Kiehl's exfoliator.
Yeah.
Which I think like they get their serum.
I want to say Bolivia. Quinoa. I don't know, but it's high in lysine.
I should know this. They use the husks of the quinoa.
Oh, okay.
Which is a natural exfoliant.
Oh, I see. They use the seeds in this one. But anyway, Jess texts me back she was like, "Don't disappear in the name of beauty," and I was like, "I won't."
I've never heard of this. This is like, it just didn't seem worth it, Jim.
She's like, "I'm gonna go back to petting my cat. You tell me about the drug lords later."
Petting my cat and prepping for the Oscars, which we need to talk about in the next segment. All right. So the Oscars, we went big this year. We went big. My friends hosted an Oscars party at the Gramercy Park Hotel.
I wasn't invited.
Listen, I wasn't the host. Okay. So I was merely a guest.
But I should always be your plus one.
You know what? Next year I'll ask.
It's not like you have a fiance or anything.
Listen, I rolled solo. I was like, peace.
You rode shallow.
For shallow?
Yeah. When you ride shallow instead of riding deep.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I just made it up.
Okay. I rode shallow, brought some cookies, brought some hummus. And
I love how your beauty stories always start with the food.
Really?
Oh, yeah. God. Okay, so I went to the Gramercy. You brought your hummus.
Brought my hummus, brought my cookies, and said, let's rock. I need to see what's going on with the hair and beauty situation.
What'd you think?
I felt it was pretty tame.
Mm.
I felt nobody wanted to make a statement, a beauty statement. Nobody really wanted to rock the boat. Nobody wanted to say, look at me. I felt there were some cute moments. Margot Robbie's kind of, she's been doing like this, I know Patty DeBroff does her makeup. She's been doing this like peachy, sweetheart kind of Cali thing for like a while now. Like her whole Tanya campaign has been very like, I almost feel like it reminds me of those illustrations, like when I was younger, it'd be like how to do makeup, like a sketch, like, you know, like an eyeshadow with like a little something in the crease, a peachy lip, like, you know, like, like everything's like perfect.
Yeah, like the Bobby Brown takeaway paper.
This is almost like prettier than Bobby Brown. Brown's like almost a little bit more stern, you know, like, it's a soft glamour.
It's funny because I pulled that picture too to talk about when we said we were going to do this. And I said, she looks pretty, but like, I feel like my mother, or your mother even being like, I don't know, put on some lipstick. Like, do a thing.
I do think she could have had a little bit more of a lip. I'll tell you, Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
I feel like she faded away. Maybe in person.
Allison Williams too. Same thing. They did the neutral makeup.
Emily Blunt too. It was like a bunch of apparitions. You know, like just very, very like light, 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 light. I'm sure in person, it probably looked stunning, but I think it didn't pop.
It's the Oscars, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Someone who did bring a little bit of interest I was excited about was Salma Hayek. I can't even say her name. Salma Hayek. Take a look at this picture. Do you know and notice anything in particular?
That she has the same kind of like vibes as you do?
No, talk about her hair.
Gray hair.
She had visible gray hair. And it's not like mine where it's like, okay, you're doing a look with the streak. She had just like white hairs that she's obviously.
I love this. You know, I didn't notice this. I love this. Thank you for pointing this out.
Yeah, I thought it was like, she looked really good and beautiful and her age, but like her grays were just like, okay, I have gray hair. She also...
She has what does Lorraine call them?
Tinsel.
Tinsel.
She has some tinsel. She also, her skin looks beautiful and moist and plump, but not fake at all.
Yeah, she's not like Botoxed within an inch of her life.
And if we're going to talk about Botoxed within an inch of your life, I'll do it because you won't.
I'm not going to do
There's two. One was Ashley Judd, but we've talked about her ad nauseum.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Keep saying ad nauseum. It's like a new thing in my vocab. Let's let's end that right now. Her cheeks are just too filled for me. And the other one, she ended up a meme because of a face she made. And I think I know why she made that face. Who am I talking about?
Jennifer Garner.
So she, like, the camera's on her, and she's, like, smiling. And all of a sudden, she gets this, like, quizzical, stern look on her face, like she's thinking about something. Yeah. People. She wasn't thinking. That was like too much Botox is what I think. Her forehead was too smooth for me. It's just, and she also did this like dynasty hair flip, and a royal blue always ages people, I feel like. She was wearing a royal blue dress. I don't want to make it a negative thing, but just people look at that. Like, come on.
Jennifer Garner is really gorgeous.
She's a beautiful woman.
But she, something's changed in the face, and I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I'm going to get some tweets saying, why am I critiquing somebody's look?
It's fine. Let me say a positive then, because Taraji...
Well, let's end on some positive.
Taraji looked amazing. She always does. I feel like her makeup is always on point. She had like a deep plum lip and like a pewter eyeshadow.
She always looks fierce as hell.
Yeah. And you know, she got dermaflashed, I read somewhere.
Really?
Actually, they might have sent out a press release, but like the face shaving that we always talk about. Her skin looks great, but honestly, it was like the plum lip wasn't too severe. It's like that stain, but like a velvet finish. It just looks really, she just looks good.
Couple of other things that were polarizing at the party. Okay.
Oh, back to your party and your hummus. Yes.
Yeah. So I lay back, you know, I don't do my beauty editor thing when I'm out with, you know.
I'm not here to work, people.
Yeah, I was off that night. But I was interested to see people were going nuts over Sandra Bullock's eyebrows. And I was glad that the crowd was, you know, attuned enough to this sort of thing.
Yes.
But they were not a fan. A couple people were like, okay, no, this is in. Like a little, like the girls that were more.
Were they furrier than usual?
They were brushed up, furry, very like, kind of like a Glossier boy brow kind of look.
Yeah.
But some people weren't getting it. I say hats off to Sandra for kind of, you know, trying something new. I don't think it was the most flattering look, especially because everything was so heavy. Like her hair was heavy. It was center parted.
With a smoky eye.
Smoky eye, center part. Everything was dragging.
Yeah.
I would kill to look like this when I was 21.
Yeah.
I just felt like everything was kind of, I hate to use this word, but like, it was like aging. I just wanted to see something a little bit fresher.
Yeah, with dark hair, as someone with dark hair, like it can be hard. Like some of those looks that would work on a blonde or a light brunette, it just looks a little bit not fierce. That's
everything was intense. It was severe. Everything was severe.
Severe is the word.
It was like this. Everything. The hair was severe. The eye makeup was severe.
Perfectly straightened hair. A center part that's super crisp.
Yeah, it was
like
too
soften
much.
It up a little.
Something else that I wasn't a huge fan of, but I thought was really interesting. Jane Fonda. She went from, like, you know, last, it was like the Emmys or something. Remember where she did that kind of silly ponytail?
Yeah.
And it was like, why are you wearing this kind of like Barbarella Malibu Barbie ponytail?
Yeah.
This time she's wearing like this dynasty blown back.
Oh, but I want like, Jane. I want her to have the dynasty blowback.
It was cool, but it was like, all right. Like I liked these all right moments. Like it was like at least keeping it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
So when we get invited to the Oscars, you can expect from us a lot of interesting. Here's the thing that happens in the beauty world. A lot of companies, they want us to talk about them. So they do a survey because a beauty editor cannot resist a stat. Am I right?
I love a good stat.
Yeah. Like you send me a survey. I'm like, let's pull out this percentage and we'll have a whole story around it. So take this with a grain of salt because I know companies do this in order to get us to talk about them. However, Skin Store did a survey of about 2,000 American women. Mm-hmm. The premise, the hook, if you will, in magazines was International Women's Day, which is March 8th or was March 8th, depending on when you listen to this. And I think they were trying to get at like, hey, what's the real status of how women feel about their confidence when they're wearing makeup and things? It was a stretch. You got the survey too, right?
I got the survey. I'm still digesting the survey.
Yeah. They asked questions about like, how do you feel without makeup? Would you leave the house without makeup? What's your favorite feature? How would you describe your looks? There was one thing that stood out to me, a bunch of things actually, but the one that I thought was really crazy was that 1 in 3 women claim they would never leave the house without makeup. Have you ever left the house without makeup?
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, I've never really like felt like great about it though.
Oh. Yeah, I
that's the truth.
I think that's...
I kind of scurry. Scurry like a little rat throughout the city without my makeup.
Well, I hope that I don't run into people. That's... You know what? If I'm being honest, you're right.
Yeah, I scurry.
Yeah. But I'm not... It's not like I wouldn't leave the house without makeup. Did anything like call to you in the survey, like catch your eye that you were just like, really?
Well, it didn't make me feel great. At first, you know, I read that. I was like, 1 in 3 women would never leave the house without makeup. I was like, oh, these poor souls. But then I thought about it. I don't feel my best. I feel kind of half there. I feel like I'm half dressed. I wish I could be one of those people who didn't really, you know, feel like they needed makeup.
Yeah.
But I just, I've been wearing makeup since I was like a tot.
A tiara tot.
No, like since I was like 12 years old. We've discussed this on the podcast. Like the concealer, the foundation, the whole, do you know I was with a group of women the other day? Mm. Women in beauty. And if you're, some of you may be listening to this podcast who are part of the conversation, and they were talking about how they don't wear foundation. I almost fell to the floor.
I don't have foundation on today.
Are you for real?
And well, you can see the big ass pimple on my chin, so it's obvious.
I wear foundation every day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably why you have nice skin, because it's like also protecting you from the sun.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
That's interesting. But I feel like they might also do a tinted moisturizer or a BB cream. I've asked women, they say, I don't wear foundation. And then you look and they have one of those BB creams that is like a foundation. Yeah. I'm like, girl, that's foundation. They just put BB so you'd buy it, you know?
Yeah. There's indoor me and there's outdoor me.
Yes. Indoor Jess and outdoor Jess. Yeah. The last thing that I thought was interesting, I hate when people do this, but part of me is still enamored with these questions because I remember like reading Teen Magazine when I was little and they would have in the back of the magazine like these contests for who has the best hair or who has the best eyes or the best lips or the best nose. And I always thought like, God, which of those could I enter? Like,
oh my,
I couldn't.
God. Was this Teen Magazine? Just
I think it was straight up teen.
Yeah.
Like it was
that was unusual.
It felt like the patriarchy was behind it all for sure. But like, I feel like I'm like happy with everything. Like it's all okay. But like nothing stands out. But I am not like most American women because 70% of women love their eyes, while only I think it was 3%. Oh no, sorry. The nose is the most hated body part. Can you believe that? I'm kind of sad that this is all tied into International Women's Day. So yeah, I'm just going to take that out of the conversation.
It's a little bit of a I mean, I guess
this
just,
isn't where we are with the women's rights movement.
Yeah, it's just I guess it's just an opportunity to reflect upon where we
it
are.
It is. I like to see where we stand as like American women. I'm intrigued by this, but this means nothing for the women's rights movement. That's for damn sure.
But I just want to say, and I feel like you're not doing a lot of talking, Jen, which is strange. But why am I revealing all this stuff with me and my makeup ritual?
Oh, you mean personal?
Yeah, personal
talking.
Stuff.
I was like, I felt like I was
No, I know you are. No, I was talking with the makeup and the who feels what.
Oh, because I was leading, so I got to ask you the questions.
Well, I'm gonna
do the question asking.
I don't think it's like, oh, I'm like a hideous creature. I need to put makeup on. It feels almost too private to go out without the makeup.
Hmm. Like you're naked.
Yeah. Do you walk around without makeup in the public?
All the time. But you know what
really?
I won't do? I really like to curl my eyelashes, even if I don't put on mascara.
Okay.
Sometimes I've been known, even when I'm like sick or like boyfriend is over, I'll just like sneak away to like curl my lashes in the morning just so they're like a little bit more open.
All right.
Truth came out.
Okay.
You guys, I opened up. You now know I have a boyfriend and an eyelash curler.
All right. Stay tuned for the next installment.
I feel vulnerable.
Wow, guys, we are here.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
With Justin Anderson.
Oh my
Blonde
God.
Bombshell. He is the king of blondes. He is a colorist at Chris McMillan Salon. Chris McMillan or Chris McMillan?
McMillan.
McMillan.
You can say Mac.
I always
if
say
you
like,
want.
Like give it say it different ways. Clients include Miley Cyrus. I love Miley.
I do too.
We got to talk about Miley. Kelly Osbourne. Jennifer Aniston.
Clients and past clients here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
full list.
Emma Roberts, oh my God, Kim Basinger, royalty. I mean, I could spend the whole time going down this list, but I won't. We've just had like a nice little convo about what it means to be like an LA boy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing today in New York? We've been hitting the pavement. You said you were really tired when you got here.
Yeah, so I'm here. My company is DP Hughes. So it's my brand that I sell at like Sephora and Ulta. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, it was a talking point that Jess skipped over. I put that in the notes. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, it's totally fine. That's the boring
part,
right?
I was dazzled by your client roster.
Right. So DP Hughes is my line. It's a product line that I sell for products that help with color in between salon visits. So we sell it at Sephora and Ulta Beauty. So today I was like in New York doing like the beauty rounds where I go and talk to all the beauty editors. Like you guys know the deal, how that
yeah.
works, right? So I've just been going around like talking nonstop. And
you did some desk sides.
I did a few desk sides. Mm-hmm. It's like the hairdressers or the product person's version of the ghosties, right? For the models.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good analogy.
No, it was really, really funny. I'm so silly when I talk all day long about products. I get like...
Do you get delirious?
I do. I get super
delirious.
Great, and
we
then
got
we,
you
No,
right
and then
at
we walked
peak.
In here. But it is like, I'm such a fan of this podcast. Like, huge fan. I was saying it earlier. But like, I tell everybody about it because I feel like there's so... Like, if you're obsessed with beauty, you're really, really obsessed with beauty.
Sure.
So like, when you find other people who are obsessed with beauty, it's like, it's really exciting. And that's why, honestly, the stuff when I go and talk to like beauty editors, like I get excited. Like we met like a few people today, like where I didn't want to leave the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Cause when someone really gets beauty, there's no better conversation, right?
Well, like, what kind of stuff did you talk about today?
Well, we talked about all of my products, which that's like the boring part for me, but exciting for other people because they're like new and innovative products and stuff. But I love asking questions about like what are all the new like skin things. My favorite part of like my job is that I get to talk to like not only just like these celebrity women, but I get to ask like everyone's like real beauty secrets, you know. And I'm the guy that like everyone will text me like, what's so and so doing, or what's really working, or what's changing people's skin. And I'll see women up close and personal. Lots of times with no makeup on, so I see like skin change. And I'm just like I'm an addict with this
Wait,
stuff. I'm obsessed.
I have a question. You have a lot of celebrity clients.
Uh-huh.
Will people like call you or text you about other celebrity clients? Be like, what's that bitch doing?
Dude, 100%. It's so weird.
Ooh, and you said, you yeah. prefaced this. You can ask me anything. I'm totally like TMI.
Are you retracting on that?
Off the Oscars.
Yeah, right off. Like, look at me, like, starting to sweat. I'm like, I already talked about my red face because I just got a laser peel done last week in LA. No, but I am really, really honest about everything. I don't have anything to hide. I'm not going to say anything crazy, but I do. Absolutely. My favorite thing to do with like some of my favorite clients, celebrity or not, is like we text about skin stuff all the time. They'll be like, what's so-and-so doing? Who are they seeing? You know, like what's going on? And I never like share big secrets. Like I'll always stay like super chill, but I'd be like, I hear, or like I'm seeing this, or like, you know, so that kind of stuff. It's fun.
I love that. I hear, I'm seeing, people may say.
Yeah. So word on the
The interesting thing about LA too, like when you're doing Harry, like you're getting in there. So like you're seeing like scars.
That's what Sharon Durham said. She's like, the hairstylists know the best. Like, yeah. Who has the best work.
Yeah. And I really would never like talk about seeing like a scar because that's so personal. That's like no one's business. But I do see it. So then I can kind of like put information together. And people share everything with their hairdresser, right? So it's like even like celebrities who are doing like finding things that really work for their skin, like they share it with me. And I'm obsessed. I really, really listen. I like make notes. And
we're going to get to like what you think really works. But yeah. Can we talk about the Oscars just for a minute?
Yeah. What did you work? Did you do some work on Sunday?
Yeah. So since I do color, I do everything pretty much like the 2 weeks before, right? So I'm getting people ready for like the parties and then leading up to the Oscars.
Is that a good time period? Is that like you don't want to get it right before a big event?
No, that's so the thing. You want to do it like 2 weeks before, I think. Because don't you feel like whenever you get color, like it always looks better like a week later, like when a tiny bit of root comes in or you just like... I don't know. It's especially blondes. Like you want to do like.
I don't think Nicole Kidman got that memo.
Ooh no! I feel like she touches up her roots like every morning.
It's like a little wiggy because it's too perfect.
Well, also there was like a lot of powder up there.
Is that what it was?
I don't think it was her hair.
She just looked like a doll to me. Couldn't put my finger on it.
It was very. She was in that movie once where she was like a Stepford wife or something.
Yeah, she's more.
Maybe it was a weave or a wig. She needs to get Beyonce's person because like it was not good enough.
Did she have a wig? We think in Big Little Lies.
Oh,
yeah, 100%.
Because I loved her hair.
That was the one part of that show that was actually making me crazy because I loved that show so much. But her wig was like making me crazy.
Do you think it looked like Amish country? Like kind of like a Hasidic wig? Hasidim women.
Like Orthodox Jewish ladies. Yeah.
I love that you said Amish because I'm actually like obsessed with the Amish. My boyfriend's from like a small town where like all of his neighbors were Amish. So whenever we go home for Christmas, like my favorite thing is to see the book. That's a dumb story. But anyways, the Amish of the town. I love it. So
more about the Amish.
No, but her hair, like it called to me. I know it didn't look super realistic, but it was like.
In the show?
Yeah. I wanted to brush it. It was beautiful hair.
Yeah. You probably wanted to brush it because it looked like it looked matted. It looked like.
Yeah.
I thought that was the worst
way. Do you find it hard to like watch things because you're busy looking at the hair and like assessing how good or bad
it is? Like one of my favorite movies when I was in high school was that movie. Remember 10 Things I Hate About You with Kate Hudson? And I love Kate Hudson so much. But if you watch it now, like now that we know so much about wigs and extensions, like her extensions are so bad in that movie. I can't even watch it.
I'm seeing it in my eyes.
No, it's so bad. It's like literally she has like a short bob and then the extensions are like down to like below her. It's the worst extension.
No, hair will do that though. It could like make or break a photo shoot in a magazine. Like,
was there anyone whose hair you loved at the Oscars?
The Oscars this year. I thought the Oscars this year were really, really good. I feel like after the Golden Globes, like everyone wearing black for the amazing movement, of course, was amazing. It was so cool. But I think people were like excited to kind of show color, mix it up a little bit. So I thought everything was really, really good this year. I made Margot Robbie really blonde this year.
That was you. Oh.
Yeah.
She looks good.
Yeah, she looks
so icy. But this is like something like kind of California about it.
Exactly. Oh, I like that. Icy California.
It was like a take that. Not unlike Nicole Kidman, but better for some reason. More alive. What's that about?
The difference is too, is like keeping a little bit of root up there. Like having a little bit of root is so much more modern than having your highlights all the way up. I'm so over the whole ombre trend and like that really like grown out highlight. Like I call it the Instagram highlight because it's like every girl on Instagram has like that like perfect wave with like the one piece in the front and then the really blonde ends. Like I hate that now. Mm-hmm. But I do think that girls should always have like a little bit of a root. It just makes it look much more modern, you know, like unless you're going for like a super platinum look, you know. But with Margot, like the idea was to make her really, really blonde, but keep a little bit of root.
So do you keep the root or do they leave the salon with that?
No, so what I do is I highlight it pretty much all the way up to the root. And then after everything's washed off, I paint back on a root. And the reason that you do that is because when they wash it a few times, like some of that painted on root will start to soften a bit. But you still want to see a little bit of that connection. And by the time that the highlight actually kind of grows off, the root smudge will kind of like fade away a bit, and then the highlights are kind of connected.
So it's good from when you walk out the door. People, bring this podcast to your colorist.
Yeah. This is very labor intensive, though.
It's really, it's actually not. It's just like the standard way of highlighting hair, and then you go back in and kind of paint it. I think the reason that I'm good at my job and why people come, I'm like neurotic. Like I will go back and repaint things over and over. I go to the bowl when the person's getting washed out and I like paint things again around their hairline. And I'm like, I'm obsessed with hair color. So like you, like even the night before the Oscars, I went to Margot's house just to kind of check her color again, like the night before. And her hairdresser and my friend Bryce Scarlett, he's the sweetest guy ever and he's like doing everyone right now. But he was like, are you sure you're going to come? Like, that's, you don't have to do that, whatever. I'm like, no, Bryce, my pleasure. Like, I'll spend the night there. Like, I'll wake up and like watch you blow
Who
out
Who doesn't want to have a slumber party with Margot Robbie? She's the coolest.
Yeah, I love that stuff. So it's not like too much work for me. I'm also the one in the salon when I'm at the salon, like doing hair, like, I put so many fucking foils in people's hair. Like, people are like, oh my God, Justin, like, stop. Like, I cut zero corners. Like, I get really into it.
So how did you get so obsessed with color? Like we hear a lot of like, oh, when I grew up, I wanted to be a hairstylist. So I was braiding, you know, in my, you know, around like the living room, like anyone who, you know, all my relatives, blah, blah, blah. But we rarely hear like the colorists. Like what was that jolt of inspiration?
You know, for me, I really have been like weirdly obsessed with hair since I was like a little kid. I come from a really big Mormon family. I have tons of cousins. Everyone's in the family business, which is construction. So like I have almost 30, boy cousins on just my dad's side alone, and everyone does.
Are you related to Jen Atkin, another hair Mormon?
No, it's so funny, but because Mormons are obsessed with beauty, like from a young age, like all of my girl cousins, I swear they were like wearing makeup at like 8 years old. Like just like looks are a big thing in the Mormon culture.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. So back to little Justin.
But why are the Mormons so obsessed with beauty?
I think like
generally speaking.
I think because everything...
Speak for your entire religion. Yeah. I don't want to send it to all my Mormon cousins. Hashtag angry Mormon.
No, but I don't even think it's a bad thing. But I think from an early age, Mormons are taught that like the most important thing in the world is to like get married right away and have kids. And like to have kids. So it's like from an early age, it's like how to attract the opposite sex. Maybe. I don't know. Also like... I don't know really what it is.
I also think there's something about being like a perfect vision for your Lord. Like I remember reading this in an article.
Yeah.
Good that the Jew over here can tell you about your religion.
I have nothing to offer.
So when you were little with your 30 boy cousins. Mm-hmm.
So it was very unexpected that I would come forward and say that I want to do like hair, right? So my whole life, like I played sports, like I hung out.
You should be building buildings with the construction.
Exactly. I went to college and I went to college with like three of my best friends from high school. And it was just basically like a continuation of high school. But in the back of my mind, I knew I wanted to do hair so bad, but I was so afraid to tell my parents. So like the summer before my junior year of college, I called my parents. I'm like, you guys, I'm not going back to college. My mom's like, what? And I'm like, I'm going to go to beauty school. And my mom freaked out. Like, I love
my
mom.
Oh my God, to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, no, it was... My mom's the sweetest person ever. I love her so much. My mom loves her boys, and she's like such that mom, like has a plan for everyone. And so when I told her that, she freaked out. Like she was like, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you talking about? Nobody makes a living off of doing hair. Like this whole thing, we went into it, got into a huge fight. I ended up going to beauty school. And I really think it's one of those things, like if you do something you're super passionate about, like chances are you're going to be good at it. Like had I finished college and like went and worked at like a desk job or went and worked for like the family construction business, like I would have been miserable my whole life. And
you would have had such good hair though on the construction.
I know. And those, I can't even find time to go to the gym anymore because of like all
you
the
work.
You
would have had muscles.
Oh my God, lifting all that. Lumber.
Like good style, like good like sight style.
Oh yeah.
The boots and like the hair.
Oh my God, my
maybe
outfits
there's a tool
on that
belt involved. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm hearing like a whole thing.
Oh
yeah.
My God, my outfits on the construction site would be so good.
You obviously have a lot of passion. Like we called you the blonde person. I'm sorry to just give you a title.
No, it's
but
fine.
Here you are sitting here with lovely blonde hair as well. What's the thing with the blondes? Like why is that your Why'd you zero in on that particular?
You know, I think it's one of those things that it's like, it's what I'm comfortable with. Like I was saying, I come from a really big family. I have Both of my parents have blonde hair. Both of my parents are surfers. My parents have surfed my whole life. So most of our weekends were spent like in a motorhome. My dad was literally chasing waves like on the West Coast. And so like I always saw like how the sun and the water would like naturally lighten the hair. And like as a little kid, I was like obsessed with it. And I used to take a lot of art classes and do painting and drawing when I was a kid. And I would always like paint and draw hair. Oh, the best thing ever. My first painting class I ever took, they said paint something that you love. And everybody was like painting cartoon characters at the time or whatever, and I painted Kim Basinger's blonde hair from Batman.
Oh,
so,
it's a good one.
So when she was Vicki Vale, I was like obsessed as a kid with her blonde hair, and so I painted that photo. Then she's my client as an adult.
Did you tell her?
So you guys, this is the craziest thing, because I like love I love celebrities and stars, and I love the excitement, all that. I just love like creative, cool people who are doing cool things, and I get super excited to meet them. So like celebrities, I get excited to meet ones that I love. But Kim Basinger was like next level for me, because when I was a kid, I would like put pictures of her up on my wall. Her and Christy Brinkley were like my tops. But when I got the call to do Kim Basinger's hair, I was so freaking nervous. And I walked in that day and I was like kind of shaking. And it's one of those things like what I did with you guys today. Like I just have to like say it really quick so I can get it over. Like, I love you, you know, like whatever. So you like,
and Kim.
Yeah, you guys.
And Christy. Have you met Christy yet? Brinkley?
I have met her, and that's another random story, but table that. But Kim, I walked into her and I was like starting to do the consultation. I'm like talking to her, and Kim is like mesmerizingly, is that the right word? Mesmerizingly?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I barely graduated beauty school. but she was so freaking beautiful, and you just get carried away. Like when she looks at you, you can't even think straight. So I'm trying to talk to her, and she's so beautiful and like the sweetest person you'd ever meet on earth. Like the way she looks you like right in the eyes, and she like speaks to you in like just the nicest way. Like you want to like hug her. You immediately feel so close to her. But so anyway, so I was like, Kim, I've got to say this before we go any further. Like you've just been like everything to me. Like I really do blonde hair because of you. Like I've loved you my whole life. Like I've talked about you forever, and I've just got to get that out of the way. And like her response was just so, like she was just like, oh baby, that's so sweet. And she was like, like her like southern, it was the sweetest thing ever.
You're like, I picked the right job.
Yeah, that's exactly. So cool. Yeah. And then now I see her all the time, and she really is, she's like family to me.
Obviously transformed a lot of people into blondes. Is there something about, like, is there a mindset? Is there something that you've seen happen when people go blonde? Because nobody, you know, no offense to brunettes, Jen.
Damn.
And listen, we're not going to go.
You're not
go,
blonde.
No, there's not, nothing boring about Jen's about hair color, though.
No, that's true. That's true. Or Jen. There's nothing, you know, let's not even delve into red, because that's very complex and weird.
And we've already delved into it. Yeah. Ad nauseum with Charlotte Tilbury and others.
But with blonde, it's almost like you've got the golden ticket, or like the transformation has occurred. But what is the transformation in your eyes?
I don't know exactly what it is, and it's so funny.
You're
because
blonde.
I know.
Well, you were born blonde.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, like, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like the way we were all set up our whole life. Like maybe like really blonde people, like they would talk about them like they were a certain star. I don't know, like back
they're
in the day.
They're a rarity too,
yeah, and
right?
I think that like somebody like a Marilyn Monroe, like I'm not even a big fan of Marilyn Monroe, but like Marilyn Monroe.
Ugh, who is?
I know, God, what did she do? She did nothing. No, I'm just kidding. But I feel like it's one of those things, like it really stood out back on when it was like black and white films, you know, maybe. And like blonde hair just really stood out. But I do really see like a difference. Like when a woman changes her color from like one color to blonde, I just, something about them like lights up. And actually like on, was it Pop Sugar? We did like a video where we did, I did one of the hosts. She had brunette hair. She went out to like walk past the construction site with brown hair. Then like a few days
later, it was your cousins. They were doing some work. It's fine.
I made her really blonde, and then she went back and did all the same things that she did a few days before. And she's just to show the response that she got from blonde hair. And it really was. It was pretty wild. Like that, she got more attention. So I don't know what it is. I've just made a name for myself in this world, but now everyone's like, "Oh, you're the blonde guy. You only like blondes, don't you?" And it's just like, "Oh, like." I like everyone.
Sorry, we're just perpetuating that story.
No, but I'm proud of it too. You know, it's just like when I was a kid, I loved it. And I think it goes back to like my family and who they are, and like I'm proud of it. And I always wanted to do these people's hair, and now I'm doing it, and it's fun.
You mentioned that like no roots is a blonde like downfall when it's just too one dimensional and goes right to the scalp. Is there anything else you see that you're like, I wish I could fix this in everybody's hair color? Doesn't have to be just with blondes, just in general. Save the world.
Save the world.
Please. One strand at a time.
I think it is when they, like, take away the root, but also, like, overly, like, if you're going for, like, a platinum look, I think that's beautiful and it's really striking and it's cool, you know, like a super, super white platinum look. But I don't like when, like, girls really get obsessed and addicted to being blonde. So it's like they keep coming, like...
Blondorexia.
No, it's a real thing. But you think about somebody who gets highlights for the first time and they look in the mirror and like, oh, my God, I feel beautiful. But then they come back and they want more and they want more and they want more. And then all of a sudden they have a full head of, like... a crap load of highlights and like nothing special about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I always really think that people should just like enhance what they have a little bit. And it's like, that's where it looks the most beautiful. Also, it's like Mother Nature gave us, or Mother Nature, whoever gave it to us, like gave us what we should have, right? And you should kind of go off of that, just enhance it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're really trying to make like a statement, you know?
Right.
But in
go
LA.
Go all the way, like, or just enhance?
Yeah, like go all the way.
It's the medium. It's like the middle road. Like,
totally.
It's kind of true in a lot of things in life, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally. No, even think about like with filler and lasers and makeup and like everything. Although makeup is in such a weird place right now.
Thoughts, opinions, tell us.
Oh, Lord. But it's like, I'm not even a Kardashian hater. Like, I get it. I think that they are so great for what they've done. And, you know, they've like everything. That, like, I'm like, wow, hand, like, bow down to you. But I just don't like that look, you know, and I just kind of want it to go away now.
Well,
like,
what's that look? Like, I mean, we're super, on audio, so, like, keep going.
The super, super, like, contoured look and, like, just tons of makeup. And, like, I love makeup. I love hair. I love fashion, all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like... what they're doing kind of is just like, and you see it a lot in LA, like everyone, like these beautiful women have just like a ton of makeup on.
Yeah.
It like overpowers everything. And
we just had Sunny Brook on and she was saying, we think the coasts have switched. Like it used to be the New York look was the like done look and West Coast was really chill.
Totally.
But lately now the California girls are like bringing it.
No, you guys, it's insane. But it's also because of freaking social media. Like I love Instagram more than anybody else, but it's like Instagram has changed the game. It's like people like...
Mm.
I don't even like 15-year-old girls in LA are like have like contour like waiting for the bus, you know, like outside of school. It's like everyone has it. It's like you go to like
thank God. Oh my God, what would I have looked like?
You know what's so weird though with social media? Remember like when we were in high school and like the pretty girl who you thought was just like so pretty, and then now you look back at pictures of her and like
Angela Mosley. Who was it? She was the blonde.
Yeah, mine was Brooke Myers, and it was like
Brooke.
But then
of course.
Brooks are always pretty. Brooke is like such a good name. But then you look back at them, like as an adult, we look back at pictures of them. We all had frizzy hair. We all had braces. Our skin was all off. But now, like 15-year-old girls, like are gorgeous, like beautiful complexions. Like on YouTube, they're learning how to blow out their hair. There's the dry bars.
They all look like they're 25.
Yeah, it's like creepy. It's like
There's something to be said for having an awkward stage.
I think so.
I feel like it made me a better person.
Oh, my God. Me too. Like, 7th and 8th grade were my most awkward years. Oh, I would never go back to that.
But then you can, like, connect with people.
Totally. No, those are, like, you shouldn't be pretty at 15 or 14 or 13.
Says the guy who does, like, Miley Cyrus and
everything. Oh, yeah.
She's always looked good. Do you end up being friendly with the people that you are... that are your clients, or is, do you keep it like professional?
Yeah,
always?
How does that work? Because there's another artist who, well, you know, I'm just going to say it. Why am I being shy about it? I think he said it publicly. I'm pretty sure, don't want to quote, but Sir John said something that he maintains like a level of kind of like professionalism with his clients. Like, I don't know. I get the impression that he's not like out like boozing with his clients.
Like, hey, bae.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Did Jay-Z really cheat on you?
Ooh. I'm just saying.
No, you would never do that.
I love it.
No, but I think there's a little bit of like a thin line. Like, do you have a line between you and your clients?
I really don't. And I also just go off of just like an energy. Like, I definitely haven't gotten along with all of my clients, but those never really last. So my clients, like, I've done Miley forever, you know, like a girl like Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach. Like, I've done her forever and she's become one of like my best friends. But Miley and I literally text every day, like, about the most random stuff ever. She's one of my favorite people
Get
ever.
Get your phone. What did Miley text you last time?
Oh, my God. I could never show that.
She's probably really fun.
Wow.
Miley is the best person in the world. So the clients that really stick with me for a long time, like, it's because it's an intimate thing to work with somebody like that. I think also, like, a lot of these girls, they love me because, like, I never get bored talking about hair. So we could, like, talk about hair, like, nonstop. And, like, what do you think I should do later? And, like, I never get bored with it. So we develop a relationship. But, no, I definitely don't have any rules.
Yeah.
But whenever there's somebody who I just don't vibe with, it never really
lasts.
Wouldn't
have worked
it
out
never,
anyway.
Like, kind of carries into, yeah, like, a longer.
I've also really had good luck getting a really nice clientele. Like, I feel like the type of person who ends up staying with you, like, is kind of similar to you. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always, like, Katy Perry and I were not a match, you know? It's like, it was like, we didn't vibe off of each other. She was sweet enough and, like, whatever, but it was just wasn't.
She'd probably say the same. Like, you gotta get.
No,
like,
totally.
Energy,
she'd
right?
probably be like, that guy was, like, a dork, you know? Like, I just, you know, like, sometimes your energy is.
That's
just
what she told us. It's, yeah, true.
No, but, like, sometimes your energies just don't go off each other. Yeah. Like, Jennifer Aniston, I love her so much. She's the sweetest person ever. Like, whatever your best version of Jennifer Aniston is in your mind, like, she beats it. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, she's just that
so nice
sweet and kind and cool and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I love her. Same thing with, like, a Miley, you know, Kim Basinger, all those kind of people. And
how do these people end up in your chair? Like, you know, I'm using Katy Perry as an example, but, like, how does, like, somebody like a Katy Perry, like, end up in your chair? Like, is it, like, their publicist says, I really need you to meet this guy, Justin. And then, like, they come in.
You know what it used to be is it used to be a lot of stuff like the publicist. Then also, like, in L.A. and here, like, a lot of, like, hair people have agents, right? So you can, like, kind of reach out to their agents. It's so stupid. But, like, that's how it used to happen. But now, literally, everything is social media.
We can't all come to see you in California and become beautiful. So tell us, like, what can we do? What can we help us save us from ourselves? What are some of the things that we get wrong when we're using a box color, and how can we not?
The thing with box colors, like, I understand that people are always going to do it, right? Like, there's always going to be a need for it. Like, women are on the go. Maybe they're on a budget. Maybe you live in a place where, like, you can't get to a salon all the time. Like, whatever it is, I know women are going to color their hair at home. You need to use a product that, like, a hairdresser has recommended, or, you know, so in my line, DP Hue, I actually have root touch-up kits that are used to cover gray roots.
I'm raising my hand. We have talked about it on the podcast because, yeah, I brought it into my color.
Yeah, you
really
did like it.
To get her stamp of approval. And she was like, this one's actually good. You're allowed.
And here, I'm so glad she said that, because a lot of times hairdressers were also, like, hateful and we talk crap about everything else, right? But it really is, out of all the products, like, any hairdresser really should be into this particular product because it's so low quality.
amazing pitch. Yeah,
low quality. Go on and get it right away. The volume of the developer is so low.
Low volume developer.
Oh my God, I'm so bad at this. I'm the worst person at pitching products though.
Makes it genuine though, because, like, now I believe whatever you're about to tell me. Yeah.
But you guys, today when I was talking to all the beauty editors, I was like, I was the worst. Like, I was always the hairdresser. I was the busiest hairdresser, and whatever salon I was at, I'd always be really, really busy. And the owners of salons would be like, Justin, like, you're so busy, but you sell zero products. Like, what's up with that? And, like, I cannot push products on people at all that I don't believe in. So then it's like, now all of a sudden, cut to, I have my own line that I have to go around and pitch all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. But I swear to God, I genuinely stand behind everything that we create, and everything's really, really good.
So is this why it takes, like, 45 minutes to do a root touch-up with DP Hue? Because it's a low-volume developer?
Yes.
It's worth it, though, because it never gets brassy or inky.
To everyone listening, we did not plan this before, but I'm so glad you asked that question.
It's 45 minutes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has to sit on for 45 minutes.
Some of these say, like, 10-minute box.
Okay, so imagine if something says that it's going to color your hair in 10 minutes. Imagine how freaking strong that product has to be. And that's the,
like, blow open the cuticle.
No, it blows open the cuticle.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's the thing. Also, Chris McNeil
Science.
And I, Chris McNeil and I work at a salon, and we've been friends forever, and we share a lot of clients or whatever. But Chris loves to do this thing where he, like, certain clients, he's like, oh my gosh, just go to the beauty store and, like, buy the box color and put it on your hair, roots to ends. It's, like, it's amazing. It's really fast. Whatever. And I'm always like, Chris, please stop telling people to do that, because it looks good for one day, but then everybody's hair, they wash it a few times and it's red underneath. And the reason that it's red is because that product blasts open the cuticle, huge, like blasts it open really fast, and then it deposits color. Well, you wash it a few times, you put hot water on it, the dye rinses away, and what's left underneath is that blast away cuticle and everything.
With, like, a stain.
Exactly. So then it's all red. So you want a product, if you're covering gray, like, you want it to sit on for a longer time and really slowly stain the gray away with a really low volume. Like, a 10 volume is not going to blast open your cuticle, right? But it'll open it just enough, and then it needs to sit on. And then it sits on, like, the last 20 minutes is when the cuticle is, like, closing and really locking in the color. So,
That makes a lot of sense, actually, the way you just explained it.
No, and that's the thing. Even, like, in the salon, like, for me, it's, like, in beauty school, they always teach you like, oh, you always need 30 volume or 20 volume always to cover gray. No, you don't. I never use anything higher.
You need time.
No, you need time. Yeah. And you
and
also,
patience.
Yeah. And you need to have a conversation. Like when women sit in my chair, like I'm always very honest with them. I say, look, I'm going to use the lowest volume that I can. The only problem is a few of your grays might pop through, but if they do, then next time we'll just up it a little bit rather than starting with the strongest stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like you start really, really gentle and then slowly build it up if you need to. But to be honest, pretty much everyone's gray hair covers with the lowest volume.
And just to be clear, the volume, is that the peroxide?
That's the peroxide,
okay,
yeah. Peroxide, sure. It's so funny. I don't even know what the terms are anymore. But for a while, peroxide was like, nobody said peroxide. It was like, became a bad
word.
But
I could see people listening and being like, what's
totally.
The volume of what?
Totally, yeah. So it is. It's the peroxide.
It's the one that takes out the color you have.
Yeah.
And then the dye yeah. puts in the molecules you want.
Yeah. But my biggest thing is like...
Jess is raising her
hand.
Oh
my God, I love it.
Yes, Jess. Science class is in session.
Why would somebody, like, I remember I did box color once when I first noticed some grays and it didn't really take, so to speak, or like some took, some didn't. And then when I went to professional colors, she said like, oh yeah, like the first time she did my color, she said, some of your grays are really stubborn. Mm-hmm. Like why would some people have some stubborn grays and what can they do to, you know, work around that?
I think it's all like on the texture of the hair, you know, it's just like, and that's the thing, that's what's so hard about being like, not so hard, not like my job is the hardest thing in the world, but like, but that's the thing, you just don't really know. And that's why whenever somebody sits in my chair, I have a really honest conversation with them. Like, look, my main objective here is to give you beautiful, shiny hair, take care of your hair. I want to become like your colorist. And so I'm going to use like the most gentle version. But in the case that you do have some stubborn grays, we can slowly start to up it. Mm-hmm. And then that way, like, I know that I'm really taking care of their hair, you know?
They're just like really coarse ones or watery
ones. Yeah, there's just certain,
yeah,
there's coarse ones. Mm-hmm. But it seems so simple, but it makes such a difference when you're using like that. The 10 volume just makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
And that's the Root Touch-Up Kit. What about all the products that are like, it'll preserve your color? Like, do we really need them?
So here's my thing. I feel like the problem is that everybody over-shampoos their hair, right? So since we were a kid, like, we were always taught to, like, shampoo, shampoo, shampoo. And the thing is like, the more that you shampoo, your body has to start to compensate, right? Like, it starts to, like, produce more oils because we're drying the crap out of our hair and our scalp. So for me, like, one of my products is the ACV rinse. So it's an apple cider vinegar rinse. It cleans your hair without stripping out the good oils. It doesn't strip out the color, but it like seals the cuticle. You have really shiny hair. But the reason that I created it is I wanted women to stop over shampooing their hair. Like,
oh, it's not like an add-on, like a clarifier. It's
no.
like, oh, massage it in instead of a shampoo.
Yeah, and it doesn't suds up.
Oh,
but the thing is, the way that I explain it, like in a really simple way, is like when you're shampooing every day, it's kind of like if you had your favorite shirt and you like threw it in the washing machine every day, like you suds it up, like the shirt would fade, like the product would break down a little bit, like it would lose its elasticity or whatever. Like, I don't know why women are shampooing their hair every single day. You know what I mean?
But ACV rinse won't do that. But like, if you're in the shower and you want to like just move around the oil, that'll
yeah,
do that.
Like,
but
yeah.
you don't need to like.
And
wash
everybody,
it, wash
everybody
it.
Wants to feel like they have like clean hair, so you rinse it every day. Use the ACV; it just kind of cleans it away, but it's not stripping away the good oils. It's not going to mess with your color.
Yeah.
But I feel like the more women do that and they start to stop using shampoo as much, mm-hmm. their hair just starts to feel so much better. It looks so much better. I haven't shampooed my hair in so long. I feel like I never have like an oily scalp. Like. My hair never like.
It doesn't look dirty.
Thank you.
It doesn't.
I do
nice
not.
Volume too.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just use the ACV. And it's just like the best way to clean the hair without like stripping it. But it's also like, think about those people who are addicted to chapstick. You use chapstick every day. Your lips are forever going to be chapped, right?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't used chapstick since I was a kid. And my boyfriend, when we first met like 4 years ago, he'd use chapstick every, like all throughout the day. Like if he loses chapstick, he'd freak out and we'd have to like run to the drugstore and buy more chapstick. And I was like, babe, you know, if you stop using chapstick, like your lips will even out. They won't get chapped anymore.
It's usually if they're like a mentholated one because like it dries you out, right? Yeah. Just to pour chapstick. Like, but we're moisturizing.
I like chapstick. I'm gonna stick it up for chapstick.
How are his lips now? Tell us.
So
moisturized.
So moisturized, and they never dry. It's the other thing is too is like I don't.
Maybe he just likes comfortable like moisturized lips.
Yeah.
Oral fixation. Maybe it's just a habit. Stop trying to change people.
Ease up.
But really, with hair, I do think it's one of those things. Like when you're like sudsing up your hair all the time, it's like stripping out those oils. Yeah. Like our oils are created to like protect our hair, whatever. And it's just like we mess with it too much.
Yeah.
You know.
Speaking of mess with too much. We talked earlier about like skincare and how you see everybody with like the good derm work, the bad derm work.
What do we need?
What have you heard about lately?
I feel
or who's doing the good injections?
There's this woman in LA at this place called Lasky Aesthetics, and her name is Diane, and I really, really love her because she's
Diane at Lasky. Diane
is so great. She's so low key, and she'll tell, like, I'll ask her, like, oh, should I do certain things, you know, like here? And she'll tell you no. She's like, don't ever do it. Like, I like people like that. Like, she's not trying to make a buck. She's not gonna overcharge you. I feel like there's this thing happening now with, like, because of Instagram, like, everyone can do injectables and everybody can
scary.
Do. Yeah, it's really freaking scary. And you see these people who you think look pretty on Instagram, you know, and they talk about going to a certain doctor and this doctor doesn't have the credentials, you know, yeah. Like you're not seeing their actual work. You're seeing the Instagram version of their work. So I like finding these people who are like Diane's not even on Instagram. You know what I mean? Like she's not telling you like, tag me, you know, it's like that kind of stuff freaking drives me crazy. Instagram drives me crazy in the beauty world because everything is about like, how do you get followers? And believe me, we all want followers. We know it helps with business and whatever.
Yeah,
but it's
we're
like,
just chugging along. Yeah. Cool.
But it's like have an authentic following. Like have people who genuinely like love you and they trust you. And like, because even with my Instagram, we're going, I love this conversation. So it's like just going to that.
It's
but
so
like
funny.
Even with my Instagram, like I don't post pictures of Jennifer Aniston all the time. Or I don't post pictures of Miley all the
what
time.
What would she say? Okay, what would happen? Oh my God, what would happen if you took a picture of Jennifer Aniston right after a color and you popped it on your Instagram? Would she die?
She would kill me. Here's the thing what I really think about. Jennifer Aniston doesn't have Instagram. So I'm never going to like post photos of her. Yeah. She clearly doesn't have Instagram for a reason. The thing that I don't understand is like a lot of these hairdressers, and it's a big thing in LA, like you'll look at their Instagrams and it's just celebrity photo after celebrity photo and it's all like paparazzi shots and all that kind of stuff. I'm like,
yeah, one time you had an LA colorist do you and like you looked amazing though, but he like polished it all up with like retouching and stuff. Like it's like a billboard at the end.
So like on my
you did look good though. I'm talking
so
to Jess.
Good. Like on my color page, like the one that's Justin Anderson color, I just post pictures of my color work. But I only post pictures that like I take or like a celebrity has posted of themselves. The other thing is too is like for a while, like if you start posting about celebrities all the time, then you're gonna start getting like this weird clientele. Like I've never wanted that either. Like let's say
what
like
kind of clientele will walk in.
Okay, let's say to be okay, really, really honest, years ago, like when I first started working with somebody like Jennifer Aniston, like if I would post a photo of her on my Instagram, all of a sudden you get all these weird people in your clients who are Jennifer Aniston fans. And they sit in your chair and they're like asking questions about her. And like that's not fun to me. Like I do not want
to. Like they're willing to pay the money to be Jennifer Aniston adjacent.
You have no idea. Like I had
just like getting to talk to you is like worth the however many
years.
Like
I had a woman fly from Australia and she's like, I have been a fan of Jennifer Aniston forever. That was a terrible Australian accent. That was like Southern. No, I wasn't even trying. I like can't do an accent at all. But she flew in to get her hair done and it was like literally because she wanted to ask questions. And like
how did you behave during that?
You guys,
because
to
she's
be,
a paying client, like, yeah, to be nice, but that's a bit.
To be honest,
scary.
It's the weirdest. Now, again, it's this thing of like social media is like changing the game so much because it is. It's like these relationships are getting so weird because it's like we all overshare on Instagram, right? So people who follow us like know too much about us already. But then that's why I really don't like the celebrity thing. Like, I don't want to post pictures of celebrities.
It's like they're paying for a meet and greet,
yes,
not to get their hair color done.
Like the closest thing to Jennifer Aniston, no offense. You know, like they want to get a piece of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So tell us more about Jennifer Aniston.
After the mics are off, like, I'm going for it.
That really is the reason why, like, I don't want to post pictures of celebrities. I also think that it's, like, I think it's a little bit cheap, you know? It's, like, mm-hmm. if your Instagram is just, like, pictures of celebrity after celebrity, mm-hmm, just, like, I don't know.
Well, tell us, you don't have to talk about specific celebrities, but I want to know more about products. We talked about injectables. What skincare is like the hot thing? What do we need? How do we look young forever?
I feel like a really good thing are those Clear and Brilliant lasers. Like I just got one last week. I think they're really good.
He went right back to a treatment. I was like, give me a bottle that I can put.
Oh, a bottle. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine
but
too.
We want to know about the treatments
too. Clear and Brilliant.
Was that a recommendation like just like from the salon? Like is that like, was that buzzing the Clear and Brilliant in the salon or was
no,
it
was like
from your derm?
Because I like see so many beautiful women in LA and people who have access to really great treatments and whatnot, I'll see people's skin up close and I always ask a lot of questions. And actually it was like, I think Allie Webb is a client of mine from owns Dry Bar, and Allie's skin was looking like incredible. I'm like, what the heck are you? So I start asking that, and then I start like when I hear the same thing over and over, then I'm like, okay, we're on to something here. And then I start asking about who does it the best, and then I'll get to that person. But as far as like creams go, I think that like less is more on your skin for sure. And I feel like it's the old stupid stuff that we don't want to hear about, like drinking lots of water and getting and sleep. But then I do think there's things like, I'm obsessed with Tazerac cream. Do you guys know that cream at all?
It's a retinoid, it's kind of, right?
Yeah, but I feel
Gene
like...
Gene Godfrey June is a fan, if I remember correctly.
The retinoid sometimes will kind of bleach your skin, like you get like kind of patchy skin, but like Tazerac, I feel like it just like evens everything out. Your pores really, really shrink. So I love that.
I believe it's tretinoin is the medical name.
Is it? But I feel like that does the most.
What about sunscreen? I feel like if you're using a retinoid, you're blonde, you like surfing family. What's the good sunscreen?
My favorite is, what is the, is it Five Labs? Is that what it's called? Wait, no. What?
Three Lab is
three,
it?
Three, three Lab.
With like and, a red and a white
and
little circle.
Yeah, and then it's in that gold bottle.
Yeah.
And so the reason I love it so much is it's super, super matte and it's like a clear lotion.
Ooh.
And the thing that like I hate about sunscreen is they're so thick and white. And like, what is that doing to your pores? Isn't that like...
I feel it's like hiding them from the UV light.
Yeah. But I feel like it like clogs it a little bit, no?
I'd rather not get the sun damage and then just
wash it off
at
then. Totally. But it's definitely like a paste in a way.
I follow you.
I just like, so the ones by 3Lab, it's like clear and it goes on really, really matte and I'm obsessed with that. So I am good about sunscreen. But I was, like you said, like in the sun and the water my whole life. Like my parents, we used to come home from school and my mom would like put baby oil on us. Like we were like tan year round. It's really bad.
Baby
like, look,
oil?
These are like, that's like a skin cancer
arms.
Cut off.
Oh my
here,
God.
Oh, you have
here.
Had things removed.
Not actual cancer, but whatever it's called.
The like, precancerous.
The precancerous
yeah.
has it cut yeah. off. My dad had it cut
and
off.
And you're fair,
cheese.
I guess.
Yeah,
too.
So it's like, but those were back in the days we didn't know that the sun was so sure. bad for us, yeah. you know? Like, oh my God.
Now
like,
we have the 3Lab.
Yeah. And I just love that one.
Now, are there any products that we should be putting in our hair? Any ones that you love? Obviously, you have your line deep.
Root Touch Up Kit. Yeah.
Root
Crazy.
Touch-up kit.
Root
so
up.
Within my line, it's like my argan oil was very, very important to me. I feel like oils, a lot of times they'll tint them. And like there was a time when there was this really famous oil out. I'm not going to name the name, but it had a really dark kind of golden color to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was making blondes yellow and brassy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when oils.
Our producer is nodding in agreement.
It's real.
Yeah. No,
I went to Morocco to like dig up some argan with a company and like that shit is like golden orange.
So think
like,
about that when you put it on like really blonde hair, like that blonde
it's
hair
like a
picks
stain.
Up the yeah. So I was seeing all of my blonde clients years ago, and they were all coming in. I was like, I didn't do this color. Like, why is it looking so brassy and whatever? And it was led back to this one particular oil that everyone was using at the
is
time.
Your oil clear? Or
so
just...
my oil now is very important for me to do a really lightweight oil that like fine or thick hair could put on a lot of it and very clear, so it doesn't do any staining.
So the whole line has like color at its background. Like we're not going to mess with your color.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know. What else?
So then I also, we have a whole line of glosses. We have like six glosses available right now. So they're deep masks that you can use at home. You put it through your hair, leave it on in the shower for like up to 10 minutes, but it has like direct dyes in it. So it'll kind of like, if you're a brunette and your hair starts to fade, you can put it on in the shower. Do the treatment, but then it also adds like that glossy brunette back into your hair. We have the red,
ooh,
we have the golden
red.
Blonde. Yeah. And those are really fun for like a lot of my clients love to give them to their teenage daughters to kind of like change it up a little bit because you can put it on, it lasts about 7 washes. So it's like if you had beautiful brunette hair, you could add like the golden tone into it and kind of have like a shimmer of gold through your hair.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really good for us.
And then you came in smelling absolutely delicious. But slightly familiar.
Damn.
Ooh, you called me out right away. I wear Le Labo, the Santal by Le Labo. And I love to say that I was one of the first ones to wear it because I really did find it so long
what
ago.
What are we talking, like 2012? It wasn't even around then. I don't know.
When
I think it was, yeah.
I honestly think it was... Yeah, so it was the first time I ever went to Coachella. How embarrassing is that?
Okay, now we're really dating ourselves.
No. So it was like 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I had started wearing it then. And it was one of those things like everyone would come up to me and it was like, what does that smell like? Anytime I go to the airport, like people would stop me
it's
whenever.
So good.
But now
this
it's like.
This image of you being stopped at the airport.
For my smell.
Back in the day, Coachella crown. It stops you, that
you
fragrance.
My Coachella flower crown just being stopped everywhere. Yeah. My little jean shorts.
Like, wait, what is that? Stop.
Oh my God, that's such a bad mental image.
Like,
but now everyone says to me, like, are you wearing Le Labo? I'm like,
oh,
everyone
annoying.
Knows.
So what are you going to do?
Well, what I started doing is, you guys know that line by Rado? Obviously, you know that.
We do. We know
so,
it well.
So there's
it's
like
a favorite on the podcast.
There's an oil like there. the Gypsy Water one. I know that was the most famous one of that, but I kind of mix the two together. And okay. I think it gives it a little bit
of a twist. It brightens it up a little, maybe.
Yeah. You get 2 cents. How is your Gypsy Water?
You literally picked the two. The two, like, favorite bougie fragrances.
Yeah. I know. But there's a reason
they're
why...
They're good for a reason.
But there's a reason why they're popular, you know? Like, I'm such a smell freak. Like, I...
Ooh, candles. Okay, here...
Oh, my God, candles. So the thing is... But with smells, like, imagine for me, like, I'm such a smell freak. And in my chair, like, people come, like, on a busy day, I'll see over 25 people, like, in the salon. So it's just back-to-back people. And smells are, like, insane. Because you hug someone, they leave that smell on you,
right? Who smells the best? Which client smells the best?
I don't even talk about Jennifer Aniston that much, but I'm doing that a lot today, which is so annoying. But she does. She smells the best. Like, she has the best smell ever.
She makes her own. And then like, she's a mixer, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's what she told Mary Claire. Who knows?
She does. She smells the best.
What should we have asked you that we didn't ask you? Like, what question did we miss?
I think, so one thing for me, like, I'm a hair colorist, right? I work in a salon. I love the salon life. When you go to someone, so you find someone, you love people, someone's color, you ask them who does it, you do your research, you end up in somebody's chair. Let's say you end up in my chair. You should really just trust that person. One thing that drives me crazy as a colorist is when people try to push you. Like, I feel like the best thing about me is I can look at somebody, and I really do, I'm not, like, bragging or trying to act too cool for school, but, like, I can look at someone, and I really can, like, kind of envision a beautiful color that would look really nice on them. And if somebody comes to me through Instagram or seeing my work out on the streets, they know the kind of look that I go for. So when you sit in somebody's chair that you went to for a reason, like, trust them. Trust their vision. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women will sit in our chair, and they're like, I think I need a bit more, or no, I need a low light there. And it's like, no, calm down. You know, it's like, you're here for a reason.
We're not at hair cuttery. Like, I got you.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say you're the expert, but kind of like you are the expert. Like you.
Yeah. And also.
Like, let go.
Yeah,
let go for a minute.
Yeah. Let go. And also just like trust. I think that like that goes for anything. You know, it's like when you go to a professional and someone who's really good, nothing drives me more crazy than when somebody tries to like dictate my work. You know, it's kind of like if you. Yeah. It's just like trust that person. If they or go to someone else if it looks bad. But it's like, you know, like when you see somebody who like. You're like, how does that woman have such a bad haircut? You know, chances are she's directing it. It's not even her hairdresser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like...
She was micromanaging that haircut.
Or like, I had clients back in the day when I first started doing hair and like, I needed a clientele. So I was like young and like, I wanted clients and people would tell me what to do and I would kind of do it. But then they'd leave and I wouldn't be proud of their color, you know, because it wasn't my work anymore. And like... I can't do that. So also my advice to hairdressers is if you're a hairdresser, even if you're trying to build your clientele, like don't do work that you don't stand behind because you don't want that walking around like representing you.
Yeah.
You know, I love to fire clients. It's my favorite thing in the world. Like if somebody tries to push me, like it's my favorite thing to do in the world. Not in a mean way, but it's like.
I don't think this is working out.
Yeah, like we're just not a match. We're not seeing eye to eye, Shelby. I don't want to make you blonder than that. Yeah. But it's my work. I want people to like see it and be like, who did that? Not, oh my God, who does that?
I think that's a great note to go out
you
on.
You know?
Yeah, this was fun. I'm almost inspired to go blonde. Not quite.
You should not go blonde. I love your hair so much. I
mean, trust the vision. Trust the vision.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on
Fat
Pascara.
Thank you for having me. This really was a big deal for me. I think I'm still like nervous. I still like have a little bit of a shaky voice. I'm like, I feel like a little kid.
Stop it.
No, for real. This was so fun. So thank you so much, you guys.
Jess, it's time to raise a wand. And I just got to right this wrong with the Women's International Movement, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
I just named March 8th wrong. I don't know what I just called it. But I want to raise a wand to L'Occitane's Solidarity Balm. Do you know it?
No, but keep going.
It's an apricot-scented... all-purpose balm, if you will, for cuticles and all that. It's delicious. But it supports women's causes, and I think that's super cool. And I'm the first person to be like, okay, we're doing a philanthropic cause because it'll sell products and whatever. But, like, why not? It's $6. And you can use it for everything, for, like, your lips, your eyebrows, all that good stuff. So I'm going to raise a wand to it regardless.
I'm raising a wand to a hair product. It's the Lush Hair Custard.
Ooh, custard.
It's so good. It is, you open up the little tub and it, like, listen, it looks intimidating because it looks like custard. It smells like vanilla, has argan oil, fair trade organic cocoa butter, and softening honey.
Is this a conditioner or a styling product?
No, it's a styling product. Mm. And you just need a little bit, like a little bit goes a long way. I put it between my little paws, rub it together, kind of warm it up, but it's already really goopy and custardy. And I kind of roll my hair between my palms of my hands.
Your ends.
My ends, yeah. I don't put it really close to my scalp until the very end. And then I just kind of pat to tame any frizz. Yeah. But I roll the ends and it gives it a lot of moisture because I have very long hair now. So the ends get very dry. It gives it a lot of moisture, gives it some texture. And it just kind of gives it like a kind of just like a laid back feeling. And it really just kind of gives it a lot of moisture and love and a really nice scent. I love this product and I'm almost done with one tub, which says a lot because it takes a long time to get through this little tub.
Custard.
Yeah. It's about $25. It smells incredible. And like, it's just a little treat every time I use
Balms and custards. Who doesn't want that?
Yum, 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 yum. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.